I love you guys like family, and we know we're New Life Family Church, and there's so much that I want God to do here and to do in your lives. And when I think about some of you being sick or struggling, or, you know, I pray as if you were my family, because you are. God has entrusted you to us, and I want to see you have all that God's called you to have. And when somebody's struggling in their faith or when they're going through a hard time, it bothers me because I care. And I know that you guys care for each other that same way. But, you know, no matter how much I care for you and want things for you, I can't make it happen for you. Have you ever had somebody that you really wish they would change, but they're just not? Like, you've been in a relationship where you're just like, this behavior is unhealthy, would you quit? But you can't make them quit. You know, and so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about some of the behaviors in my own life. So I'm almost 42 now. I'm 41. I'm turning 42 next week. And so I was thinking about some of the things, you know, some fears that maybe come up or insecurities or stuff that's going on. And I'm like, I'm a 40-something-year-old woman. I'm too old for this. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I feel like I'm still 16 in some ways. And then I look and I'm like, nope, I'm middle-aged. Like, I'm supposed to be, this is it. This is my maturity level. Like, wow. And there are some areas spiritually that I'm like, okay, I really want to grow here. So how many of you desire to grow in the things of God? My heart for you this morning is to see you desire and hunger to grow in the things of God, to actually want to mature. Because we can't make you mature. I can want it for you, but you have to want it for it to happen. You know, physical growth will happen regardless, right? You're going to be born, and then one day you're going to be 50. Like, it just happens. But maturing is optional. How many of you guys know that? Because we've all run into people that have grown in years, but not in maturity. And, yeah, it's not a pretty sight. They're still, you know, playing video games all day long and all night long, and they're 32 and still living with their parents. I don't know, but, you know, we've all run across the people that don't want to adult. Do you know what I'm talking about? Adulting has become like a bad word. It's not meant to be a bad thing to be an adult. That's where you can have all the good stuff that you wish for when you were a kid. That's where you can stay up late, where you can drive a car, when you can travel, where you can have your own house, become successful, you know, be a fireman if that's what you wanted to be. Whatever it is that you longed for, you meant to do when you're adulting. But we've made it this, like, bad thing, like, oh, I don't want to adult today. Because, yes, it does also mean you have to pay your bills and pay your taxes and do all those things that it requires. But if you don't do them, how many know you will not find success in adulthood? If all your bills are overdue and you never pay your mortgage, you'll get evicted. Success in life depends on maturing and adulting. And it sounds boring, so I didn't want to name my message adulting. So instead, entrusted. Because God has entrusted us with things to do, but we have to be mature enough to handle it. And I want to give you a little illustration this morning about that. Isaiah, are you here, Isaiah? Can you come up here for me and help me? And how about you, Will? Can you come up here on stage? Give it up for little Isaiah Stewart. Woo! Oh, yeah, Daddy can come too in case he gets too shy. Where's my little box? I had one little box. Uh-oh. Joshua, can you run and get my little box? There was one little box for him. Come stand right here. Do you want to? Do you want to be brave enough? Oh, do we have any other small person? He was going to do it, but now he's shy. Do we have any kids in here? Here, do you want to hold this for me? Okay, that's okay. He doesn't have to. Give it up for Isaiah. Any other kids? We have no kids. Where's Zoe? Is she here? There you are. Come up here, Zoe. You're actually not a kid anymore, but we'll take it. We need somebody that's smaller than him. That's the point. So, all right, here we go. So I want to give you something. I want to entrust you with something valuable. Okay, it's in here. It's very special. And face the audience, and I'm going to let you hold it. There you go. So you just stand there and hold that. And then, Will, you're going to stand over here, and I'm going to entrust you with some more things. All right, so here's my illustration. God is going to give you however much he can trust you with, however much you can handle. So Zoe here, if I were to give her all those boxes, maybe she can't handle it, but she can grow and mature and increase her capacity to where one day she can hold this much treasure. Do you get where I'm going? Okay, so we're going to see if you can get even stronger. Will, put those down. Let's stack one more on top. Give it up for Will. Can you do it? He's got it. This is awesome. All right, and then Cassie, you're going to be right in between. Come up here. So Cassie is somewhere in the middle of the journey. She has got more capacity than Zoe, but she's not quite as strong as Will. All right, and I'm going to read you a story while they're up here. To illustrate this, can you take a step back? There you go. Don't fall. All right, we're going to read to you from Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Again, it'll be like a man, and God, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. So when he says it, it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants together, and he entrusted them with wealth. The one he gave 5 bags of gold... 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't want to stack 5 in case we banged into the ceiling. But one, he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2, and then to another 1 bag. And I used to get so upset over this. I felt like God was being so unfair. Do you need to put him down? You're good? He's good. I felt like God was being so unfair. But listen to this next phrase, because there's no reason for her to be jealous, because it says, each according to his ability. If God were to give these big 5 boxes to Zoe over here, it's like going to crush her. She doesn't know how to handle it. So we need to enlarge our capacity and ability until we can handle all that God has for us, because he will give us according to our ability. Thank you so much, guys. You can put the boxes down and go to your seat. Give them a hand. Awesome. Yeah, you can just stack them over there. Will gets an extra hand. I'm going to help you make sure that one doesn't fall. I'm just going to leave these boxes here for you to think about where in your journey you're at. Woo! Because we all start out with a little box. When you get to know Jesus and you're a little baby Christian, God doesn't say, well, he or she can't do anything. He's going to give you a little box. He'll give you something. He'll give you a measure of faith. He'll give you gifts. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives you things to do. He wants you to mature. But it's your choice if you're going to stay over here and forever hold the one little box. Because he will give you according to your ability. Now, if we read the rest of the story, for time, I'm not going to read the whole parable because it's kind of long. But for those of you that know it, you know that when the master came back, the one with the 5 boxes had worked hard and turned the 5 into 10. He had doubled his master's wealth. For the second person that had 2 boxes, he had doubled the 2 and he had 4. For the guy with the 1 box, he was afraid. And he didn't do anything with his box. He went and buried it and hid it. And then he dug it out again when the master came and said, here it is. I didn't lose it. Here's the thing. Your salvation is guaranteed. God loves you if you're a child of his. If you've accepted Jesus in your heart, you will get to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. You have the one little box. But how much you want to do for him and how much you want of his kingdom depends on what you do with it, how you invest it, how you grow, and how you mature. Amen? So if you enlarge your capacity, God will come and see, and he'll give you another treasure. He'll give you another box. But here's the thing. Do we want it? Or are we just busy going about our lives, just wanting to live a happy life, make sure nobody in our family is extremely sick, that we have a house and our mortgage is paid for? You know, are we just happy coming to church on Sunday? As long as our life is okay, we don't really strive to increase our capacity because we don't really desire what's in those boxes. So it's too much hard work to try to mature. Again, it's like adulting spiritually is just, ugh. I don't know if you've ever run into people like that, but that's my heart, is that nobody at New Life Family Church would feel like adulting spiritually is something that we don't want, that we embrace it, and that we want to mature, and that we want to grow, and we want to go after all the things that God is offering to us. Because how sad if the King of the universe has this treasure that he wants to give us. He has all these gifts and all this stuff, and we're like, well, it's too heavy, and I would have to like work out and become mature and like stop being mad at so-and-so and stop this little ugly habit over here and start actually reading my Bible. It's too hard. I don't need all those boxes. I'm good with one. I'm going to heaven. It happens. And that's where my heart is like, okay, it doesn't matter where you're at in this journey. If you're already holding five boxes, God can give you five more. There's always more. Until you become like Jesus and everybody knows the gospel all around the world, like there's more to do. So you've never arrived. So I'm talking to those of you that have been with God and walked with him for a long time. Sometimes we're the ones who are tempted, like we're in the middle here. We have two boxes and God's like, there's more. And we're like, well, I'm good. Like, I'm better than I was last year. You know, I'm like actually reading my Bible and I'm coming to church every Sunday instead of every other. So I'm good. Like, I have matured. I have attained spiritual maturity. This is it. And God's like, hello, come on. And if he gave you, you know, the gift of prophecy and you've started using it a little bit, and then he's like, but there's so much more. Like, why did you stop chasing after the things of God? So my question to you this morning is, where's your hunger? Do you want to be entrusted with more? Or are you just happy where you're at? Do you know when somebody doesn't eat, eventually they'll stop being hungry. They just don't want it anymore. But if you know what's good for you, you'll want it. You'll want to eat healthy. You'll want to work out. You'll want to get strong. We have 52 Sundays a year, and it is nowhere near enough to share everything that's in this book. Like, can you just imagine? There's 66 books in here, over 1,000 chapters, and there's the Old Testament, the New Testament, stories, biblical truths, like all this stuff. It is hard to pick a sermon topic. Like, when you have this much to choose from, and it's like, ah, I want them to know everything. Like, what should I speak on? We have one, you know, 30-minute segment once a week. There's no way that all that God has for you is going to be fulfilled by you sitting on church on Sunday. That's like dipping your toe into this huge ocean and being like, yes, I got wet. Praise him. Praise him. I did it. You need more than just the one little box. Sunday morning is this one little box. Okay? So if this is where you're at, I am daring you to go to two. And then if you're at two, I'm daring you to go to five. And if God has given you five and you've walked with him for a long time, I'm asking you, for the sake of all of us in the area that we live in, the gospel and the kingdom of God, invest those until you get 10. Always be hungry for more. There is more for all of us. I never want to be at the point, and that's what started this whole thing, is like there was this one thing that God had been dealing with me, and it had been fine for a while, and then it came up again, like this attitude or fear or whatever, and I was like, what, how am I still dealing with this? And he's like, you've never arrived. Like, the enemy's always going to keep trying to come after you. You have to stay vigilant and hungry to go after the things of God. And just like, I've had so many amazing experiences with the Lord. I'm full forever. We leak. Like, we live in this world. It's not just going to stay there. You have to get more, get filled up, and then use what you've got, and that's how you grow. The next verse that I want to read to you is from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. There's that awful word again, maturity. But it's a good word. It's a good word. So I'm asking you again, do you want to mature in Christ? Or like that message that Brad preached the other week about the woman who was laying, or the man who was laying on his mat with his issue. Would you rather lay on your mat and have everybody else serve you rather than get up and get healed and start serving others? That's a part of maturity. That it's not longer all about you, about you, about you. You are now mature enough to start serving others, to start giving, to start discipling others. That's why we need you to grow up. Are you hungry for it? Ephesians 4, and this will show you that we have none of us arrived. Our goal is to be like Jesus. This, our growing and equipping and maturing, will continue until we've all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So if you've measured up to the standard of Christ, may I see your hands, please? Yeah, me neither. We've got a long way to go, even the best of us. Everybody's got a long way to go. So until you've measured up to the maturity of Christ, but that's his goal for us. Look at verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth, because that happens. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. The NIV says that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, Jesus. So if Jesus is the head and we're his body, do we measure up? Or are we like just this weak limb that he can't use? That's what I think about when I think about lifting these boxes, is like, how strong is my spiritual muscle? Like, can God actually tell me, hey, go lift that? And I'm like, yes. Instead, it's likely like when Brad asks me to help carry something at home, and I'm like, oh, can we call Josh, you know? There's not much there. But spiritually, I want to be strong. God needs you and wants you to be strong, but again, he can't do it for you. So he has all these treasures for you, and if you expand your capacity and not just stay where you're at, and you continue to grow, he will entrust you with more. So where are you at this morning? If we're going to become like Jesus, we don't want to become like baby Jesus, right? Like, if you think about it, there are 89 chapters in the gospel telling us about the work that Jesus did, and only 4 of them talk about when he was a baby. But then it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, and then in favor with God and man. And the rest of the story is all about his miracles, about the people that he led to the love of God, all the things that he did. That's his goal for you and I. That's what he wants. That's what maturing means, is doing all the things that Jesus did. It's not some like, oh, I don't want to adult. It's like, yes, now you have the power and authority to do, like Jesus said, more than he did while he was here on earth. Isn't that what we want? Like, otherwise, what's the point of being a Christian? Like, is it just to come and sit? Because if so, like, it's not that exciting. But if we actually move and operate in the power that he wants to entrust us with, there's nothing greater. If we talk to him all the time and he speaks to us, if we pray for the sick and they are healed, if we get words of prophecy, if we are able to do the things that he has written before the beginning of time for us to do, that's when it's actually fun. That's when it's something to live for and not just a checkbox to check off like I did my Sunday morning. So where are you at this morning? I'm so passionate about this. And one of the stories that really struck me that I heard lately was Christine Kane. How many of you have heard Christine Kane? She's an amazing speaker. And 2 years ago, I believe, she was diagnosed with cancer in her throat cancer. And they were saying, you know, you're going to lose your voice. You have to have an operation, all this and that. Which she's a speaker that travels and preaches for a living. Like, she was like, okay, the enemy's coming against the voice that God has given me. So I'm going to pray and believe in faith. And she was thinking about, who should I get to come pray for me? And she was trying to think if there was anybody under 35 that she believed could come and see real power unleashed to heal her throat. She's like, everybody I could think about were like 60 and older, that I knew that not only was their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, but hell knew their name. You know that story in when some people tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and the demon said, well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? That's the difference between this box and that box, is here your name is known in heaven, but here your name is known in hell. And when you pray, stuff happens and demons tremble. When she said that, I was like, wow, we need to all mature, because eventually the older saints are going to die and go to heaven. Who is left to operate in the power of God? I want it. Do you want it? So this morning, my charge to you is, are you hungry? Do you want to be entrusted with more? And how do you know if you're growing? Because I've had that question before, like, well, how do I know if I'm, like, getting better? I made, like, a simple little quiz to see if you are maturing in your faith. So get ready. We're going to school. Where is it? Oh, here it is. If I asked you, okay, so here's 5 questions. You don't have to answer out loud or raise your hand, so, you know. But people ask, okay, so how do I know if I'm maturing? Like, what is mature? Here's 5 things. Just think of a before and after picture on a diet or something like that, right? And this is you. You don't want your picture from last year to look exactly the same as this year. So think about you a year ago, and here are five questions. If I asked you what God is doing in your life right now, would you have an answer? Or would it be like, well, when I was 10, he did this? Do you have less fear and doubt in your life right now than you did a year ago? Just think about it. Are you spending quality time with God daily? Because then you'll grow. That's a given. So are you doing that? Do you have more joy now than you did a year ago? Because then I tell you, people that are close with God, they're happy. No matter what's going on around them, rejoice in every circumstance. Give thanks in every circumstance. So you have more joy now than a year ago. And number five, are you able to help disciple others? That doesn't mean that you have to be full-time pastoral staff ministry. That just means that you're a little further along than you were last year, so you're able to help somebody else who's coming up behind you. So do you have more joy? Do you have less doubt? Are you spending time with God daily? Are you able to disciple others? And if I asked you what God's doing in your life right now, would you have an answer? If you say yes to those, you're growing. And no matter where you're at in your journey, you shouldn't be discouraged. My charge for you today is not like, I cannot believe that you're with one box. You should be with five. That's not the intent of this message at all. My desire is to get you to realize that you can hold more than this and to evaluate our walks, all of us, to see, are we actually going forward or are we just continually coming to church but staying with the same capacity? So just continue to think about those five things because I believe God has much more for all of us than we have right now. Like I said, when we're further along in our faith, sometimes it's tempting to stop growing. But are you walking in all the fruits of the Spirit? I know I'm not. Like patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all those things like every minute of every waking day? No, I don't. Sometimes I just wake up in the morning and get impatient with my dog or something, you know? There's always more. Are you desiring the gifts of the Spirit? Use the gifts. Cultivate the fruit. Do the thing that it's going to take you to reach maturity. You know, adulting is something that everybody needs and nobody wants, but it's so important. It's so important. To become, I'm not going to give you like five ways to mature. I think you all know what to do. We all do. It's kind of like if you want to lose weight, you need to eat well and work out. We all know it. Doesn't mean we do it, right? I think you guys all know what it takes to mature spiritually. And if you don't, come and talk to me. Come and ask me. Come see one of our pastors and ask, what do I do? I do want to grow. But the thing is, are we actually doing it? So I'm not going to give you a bunch of points, but I am going to read this from Romans chapter 12. Because in order to grow, you have to do something. Muscles that are unused, they atrophy. But resistance is what causes them to grow. So God has given all of us things to do. And if you don't know what to do, just look around and see what team might need help from our dream team. Look what life group you can join or start. Like, am I crazy to just wish that all of you knew this book inside and out, that you were like taking classes online in your old time to do an Old Testament survey, a New Testament survey, and that all of our, you know, life groups were like a Bible school? Because I want all of us to know all of this and all about God. And like I said, we cannot cover it on a Sunday morning. But are you hungry? Because we can only give you a tiny bit, a tiny sliver. And God will only give you as much as you have the capacity to hold. So look at this from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give. If it's to lead, then do it generously. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever it is that God has given you, use it, because that's the investing. When these guys got more, when it went from 2 to 4, is because they were using it. They were putting it to work. You take what little you have, you take this tiny thing. God has never minded tiny. Remember that boy that came with the two fish and loaves, and God just multiplied it. Three fish and two loaves, I can't even remember. But the fish and the loaves in the basket, and God fed 5,000. Take your little and start putting it to work, and he will make it incredibly much. But he is good, good father, and he is not going to give you what you can't handle. Like, what good parent, like, I remember Joshua, when he was little, he was frustrated because he couldn't do the monkey bars. His arms couldn't even reach across, but he was trying. He's like, lift me up, and, you know, I'm like, you can't stretch. Like, unless you're going to fly in the air between one and the other, it's not going to happen, okay? So sometimes you have to stop being frustrated and wishing for this spiritual, amazing blessing that you want and realize that instead of striving, start growing. Once you're mature enough to handle it, God will give it to you. Like, now Josh does pull-ups on his pull-up bar, like, endlessly. He can do as many monkey bars as he wants. It came because he grew. You're never going to do it when you only have capacity for one. And what good parent will give a brand new, you know, BMW car, their favorite car, that's their car, not the kid's car, and the kid turns 16, has never driven a day in his life, and just toss the keys and say, hey, drive on 183, try to go through downtown and get on 35, see how that works out for you. He's going to lose the car and the kid's going to get injured. God is a good, good father. He would not do that. So he's not going to give you 5 boxes until you can handle it. So this morning, do you desire to handle it? Are you willing to go through driver's ed so you can handle daddy's car one day? Spiritually speaking, wherever you're at, do you want to get to the next level? I hope you do. I know I do. I really want more. Like, I'm happy. Like, this is good, but I want great. I've seen people get healed, but I want to see them get healed every week. We see people get born again, but I want to see more. We've seen increase financially. I want to see abundant increase financially. Whatever area it is, there's more. And God will give it to us if we enlarge what we can be entrusted with. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to pray. You know, God gives dreams. He gives prophetic words. He does the miraculous and he heals. He does all these things. But how much of that is operating in your life? Right now, if you would just close your eyes, I want you to start to just ask God, if you don't have it already, to give you a hunger for more. If you're just a churchgoer, then I want you to become passionate for Jesus. If you're passionate for Jesus already, then I want you to ask him for hunger to take that to the next level and actually operate in a deeper way in the gifts of the Spirit and see him do more miraculous things in your life. You know, everybody in the Bible grew. David started out a shepherd and became a king. Gideon was scared to death and then became a mighty warrior. The disciples were just fishermen that doubted Jesus every other time he spoke to them, but then they turned into world changers that were martyred for their faith. They took the gospel to the nations. It's okay to be in the growth process. We're all on a journey. We don't just arrive fully grown. But ask God, I want more. If you would just close your eyes and bow your head. This is a decision, not an emotion. It's kind of like choosing to eat healthy. But if you want to go from being a child to adolescent or adolescent to adulthood spiritually, if you want to commit to God, and this is not to me, this is between you and God, to take it to the next level, to hunger for a little bit more of him this coming fall semester. If this is your year to start growing as much as you possibly can, then I want you to just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to grow. I want more of you, Jesus. And I'm going to pray for you in just a second. God, you see these hands that are going up. God, these people are hungry for more of you. They want more of your presence, more of your spirit, more of your power. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down, but you know, the ones that raise your hand, this is like between you and God. But I'm going to pray. Father, you saw every hand that was raised. And right now, I pray for strength and resolve for them to carry this out, God. Father in heaven, I pray that you would pour out more of your spirit for everybody that comes near to you. The Bible says that you draw near to them. God, I pray that you would draw near to us, that as we seek after you, you would entrust us with more. I pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be released, for new anointing to be poured out, for just for those of you that need to lay aside some habits and some sins that have hindered, that this is the day that you lay those down so that you can grow into what God's called you to be. If you've just not been hungry and you haven't wanted more of God, this is the day when you're going to say, okay, God, I'm done playing games. I'm not just going to come to church on Sunday. I'm actually going to study out what you're all about. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to find community with other people that are going to strengthen my faith. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to let go of childish things and own our journey. Look up here at me. I feel to say this. You know, the devil doesn't have power over your spiritual growth. He can't stop you from growing. You own your journey. These are your decisions that you make. He is not that powerful. He's an angel with a God complex. He's nothing. You just tell him to go and he's gone, okay? So don't be afraid of growing. You just do your thing. You're powerful. Every step that you take, it's yours. God has given you every authority in heaven and on earth through the name of Jesus. Before we close, I just want to talk to those of you that you're not even a child of God yet. Before you can become a woman of God or a man of God, a mighty woman of faith or a mighty man of faith, you have to know who you are as a son and a daughter. And if you're not a part of God's family, if you don't know Jesus, God loves you. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. John 3:16, you've probably heard it. For this is how God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Sin separates us from God. The punishment is death. But God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and me, to take our place so that we wouldn't have to live in eternal death. Hell is a real place. But the Bible says that if we believe in Jesus and we repent of our sins, he adopts us into his family. We become sons and daughters of God and we get eternal life. Our sin is washed away and we get to be with Jesus forever. So if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads one more time. If that's you this morning and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to be all your sin to be forgiven so that you can have eternal life with him, I want you to just raise your hands so I know who I'm praying for. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus, I see your hand. I see your hand. I'm so excited that you get to be introduced to Jesus this morning. I can't even tell you how happy I am. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe in you. I put my faith and my trust in you. And I give you my life. From this day forward, I belong to you. You can have all of me. Come into my heart, Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that you became a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation.